Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
There are different ways of dividing up groups of people. You might have heard of some of them. You know, you have the dog people, you have the cat people, you have the pie people, and you have the cake people, and you have people who divide people into two groups and people who don't. Think about it. You also have people. There are those people who really, really like family reunions, and then there are normal people. And so, I'm just kidding. There are people who say they're kidding and really are, and people who say they're kidding and they're not. So, the last family reunion I went to, I was seated across the table from one of my older relatives. He was much, much, much older. I mean, the man, in his words, "I don't have many trips around the sun left." And he also said, "I'm at the age where they just put all the ingredients in the cake pan, light the candles, and it bakes itself." And he was on up there in age. And we were talking, and I asked him, I said, "So how have you been?" And he said, "Well, I'm mad and I'm disappointed." And I was expecting to hear something about his health. I was expecting to hear something about some sort of family conflict. Instead, he said, "I did not win the breakfast bunch coffee mug this year on my birthday." Because there was a local morning show on the radio, and people would call in and tell them how old they were, and the oldest person celebrating their birthday that day would get a birthday coffee mug. And he said, "I have a shelf at home with all of these coffee mugs for all of these years, but I didn't get it this year." And I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, I was waiting for my name to be announced, as they have for the last 10 years, and they announced this woman's name, and she was 1 year older than me." And I said, "What? Must have been really, devastating." And his response was, "But I've done some checking around. She moved to the area. She's not from here. She's living with her daughter, and I hear she's not doing well." So he said with a shrug, "There's always next year." Like, oh, family, right? Well, my relative, he was, in his words, he's an old timer. But he was also a short-timer. He didn't have many trips, in his words, "I don't have many trips around the sun left." So he had to get as many coffee mugs as he could. And so I want us to think today, as we start this series called Short-Timer, I want us to think about this truth. It does not matter if you are about to graduate high school or you're about to graduate college and you have your whole life that you're planning out. It doesn't matter if you're in that category, or if you're in the category like my relative, and he was at the age where, you just don't buy green bananas because it's just uncertain. Regardless of which group you're in, we're all short-timers. Life is short. Life is brief. Billy Graham, years before he died, he was asked the question, "What has surprised you most about life?" And his answer famously was the brevity of it. Life is brief. It passes by oh so quickly. And today, as we start this series, I want us to look at this idea of life being here, for us being here in this lifetime for a very limited amount of time, and how can we practice some principles found in God's Word so that we don't waste our lives. Because I don't think any of us want to get to the end of our lives and look back and say, "I've just wasted it." Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little preview. Next week, we're going to look at, what do you do when it seems like nothing is happening? What do you do in that waiting time as we are short-timers? What do you do with those years that it feels like the locusts have eaten and you can't get those years back? What do you do with those times? And we'll look more at that next week. But today, I want us to look at, how do we make sure we don't waste our lives? And in Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at two verses today. Paul's writing the church at Ephesus. He's already laid out how time is short, and he lays out how it's time to wake up from our sleep and not to have not to have interaction with the works of darkness. We're to put those away, and it's time to wake up and live for Christ. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, he picks up in verse 15 with this. Look carefully then, because of what he's just explained, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. One major point today that we're going to break down, it's this. You will spend time wisely when you value time greatly. You will spend your time wisely when you value your time greatly. And that's with anything. Anything that you value greatly, you will spend it wisely, and time is no exception. So what does Paul tell us here? Because we're all short-timers, and we all need to spend our time wisely because time is so valuable. We need to recognize the value of it. How do we avoid wasting our lives? Well, the first thing is this. We have to evaluate with care. We must evaluate with care. Look back at verse 15 again. Look carefully then how you walk. That word carefully, it's a word that can also be translated diligently, accurately, precisely, exactly. Be exact in the way that you walk. Be very careful. It comes from the Greek word that gave us our word acrobat. You see an acrobat performing precision maneuvers on the trapeze, or an acrobat walking a tightrope. They have to walk exactly. They have to be precise in their actions. Otherwise, they can meet with great harm or even death. And the Bible tells us that we have to walk with care. We have to examine ourselves, look carefully. We have to look acrobos. We have to walk and examine the way that we live our lives with precision, because life is brief. The Bible reiterates this idea of the brevity of life numerous times. Listen to Psalm 144, verse 4. Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Can't tell you the number of times in recent days I've spoken to people, and you start looking at the calendar, and they'll say something like, "Whoa, it's already the middle of the year. Where did all the year go? Where did it go? And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, "Well, I've been buying Christmas presents." I said, "Christmas presents? Are you out of your mind? You know, it will be here soon." And then the next year, and the next year, and the next year. I remember whenever I was younger. I know every time we remember when we're younger. You know that's true, right? It's like when somebody says, "Here's a picture of me when I was younger." Every picture of you is a picture of you when you were younger. But anyway, here's a picture of me from the future. But when I was younger, I remember thinking, "I just can't wait for my life to start. I can't wait for my life to start. When is my life ever going to start?" If you're of a certain age, guess what, y'all? I know some of you are thinking that. It's going to start, and you will not be able to slow it down. It seems like it hits fast forward, doesn't it? And you look back, and you're like, "Where did the years go? Why did this happen?" Because of that, we have to live with precision. We have to live and walk carefully. James reiterates what we find here in Psalm 144, James chapter 4. "Yet do you not know what tomorrow will..." You do not know what tomorrow will bring. "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." You're the breath on a cold day. That's the word. It's a vapor. You're the breath on a cold day that comes out and then it dissipates. That's how short life is. Because of that, we have to evaluate our lives with care. We have to precisely examine how we are spending our time. I love Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. "So teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Notice the Bible says, "Teach us to number our days." This is something that we learn. We don't come into the world with an understanding of how to wisely spend our time and wisely spend our days. "Teach us, O God, to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom." The first step in living out your life in a wise way is to recognize how short it is. Teach us to number our days. Maybe you need to ask God that. Maybe you need to go before God this week and you need to ask Him, God, please teach me how to number my days. Teach me how to make the best use of my time. Teach me and show me how brief life is. And then, with that understanding of the brevity of life, help me to prioritize those things that I really should be focused on. You do know there are many things that we do on a day-to-day basis. I don't mean necessary things. I'm just talking about things we do on a day-to-day basis that mean nothing. I don't mean good, bad. I just mean nothing. They're just worth nothing. Whenever you evaluate with care, you can start looking at the way that you spend your time and see if you are wasting your life. You don't need to waste your life. God never wants us to waste our lives. Now, for the type A's in the crowd, I'm guilty. Hi, I'm Dustin. I'm a type A. For the type A's in the crowd, we all have to understand, making the most of our time and not wasting our time does not mean we work ourselves to death. That is just as foolish as wasting time frivolously. Spending all of your time and filling all of your days and filling every second and filling every hour with busyness, 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 and never taking that time to rest before God and trusting in Him, that is wrong as well. So I'm not talking about filling every waking moment to the point that we are absolutely spent, exhausted, and then no good for the kingdom. You can be no good for the kingdom because you waste your time. You can be no good for the kingdom because you spend all of your time doing things and being busy. You can be busy for the kingdom and be ineffective for the kingdom at the same time. We have to be careful. And we have to examine our lives. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing this week to go before God and just say, God, show me the brevity of life. Teach me to number my days. Help me to look carefully at the way that I walk. Help me to walk that tightrope of time so that I am spending my time in the best possible way. Because our days are brief. Secondly, we have to live with skill. Not only do we need to examine our lives and evaluate our lives carefully, then we need to live with skill. Look at verse 15 again. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. We live with skill. That word wisdom, when you find it in the Bible, the most common way of translating that or understanding that is to live skillfully. That's the Jewish idea of wisdom, to live skillfully. Sometimes we think of wisdom as intelligence. Sometimes we think of wisdom as just understanding a particular topic. And that's a part of wisdom. But wisdom in the Bible, in the umbrella term, it means to live skillfully. Someone who is living skillfully can evaluate carefully and then do the right thing according to God's word. That is what it means to live with wisdom. Look carefully then how you walk. How you walk. Your walk is your daily course of life. Evaluate how you go about your daily course of life. Evaluate with care how you are living to see if you are living not as unwise but as wise. Evaluate your life to see if you are living with skill. That's the idea that we find here. Anytime the Bible mentions walk, you find that there are some practical applications that surround that idea. In Romans chapter 13, Paul writes, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep." Here's Paul talking to the church at Rome, encouraging them to wake up and live for Christ. "For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed." And that's true for all of us. Salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. For those of you who are followers of Christ, from the time that you began to follow Christ to now, you are closer now to being with Jesus forever than you were before. We're closer now than we were yesterday. "The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk," there it is, let's go about our daily process of life. "Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, nor not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. If we are going to live with skill, there are some things we put away and somebody, that is Christ, that we put on. We put on his life. We are found in him. We are hidden in him. We are united with Christ. And so we are to live by the power of Christ. We are to live with skill. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes this, "And so, from the day we heard, have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." So Paul is saying to the church at Colossae, I've been praying for you. I've been praying that you would be filled with wisdom so that what? So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He prays they'd have wisdom so they would know how to walk in the right way. He prays they would have understanding so they could live with skill. Have you ever asked God for wisdom? Some of you have asked me from time to time, and you ask me, what can I pray for you? And I always start with one thing. I always say, pray that I will have wisdom. That's what I always begin with. Pray that I will have wisdom, that God will grant me wisdom. And some of you have prayed that for me. You pray that for me regularly. I've mentioned that to people over the years, pray for wisdom, and some will say, well, that's a given. Well, if it's a given, then great. Then I'll give you some other things, but pray for wisdom. I need wisdom. Because I believe what James said when he was communicating God's truth, and he said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It doesn't say it might be. It says it will be given to him. God will answer that prayer. God will grant you wisdom. Now, let me go ahead and let you know. The Bible also says, if you increase knowledge, you increase sorrow. The more you know, the more you see into situations, the more you understand about life, the more you understand about the human heart, the more you understand about the human condition, the more sorrow that will bring because you see things as they are. You begin to see clearer and clearer as things are. He who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Now, I know some of you are saying, then I'm just going to be blissfully ignorant. Well, that's not necessarily a good thing. If you need wisdom, you can ask God for wisdom, and God will give you wisdom. But understand, with that wisdom comes understanding that can bring sorrow. But whenever you understand how things really are, then you can start living in the way that really matters, when you see the reality of the way things are. For years, I taught literature in a school setting, and I remember we had a unit, and I think I've mentioned this before at one point in time. There was a unit where we talked about illusions and deceptions in this particular unit, and all of the stories and poems were related to that topic. And I made a mention of a question, and I did a would you rather question, and I asked the class, would you rather hear the hard truth or a pleasant lie? And the vast majority of students that I asked that question over the years, the vast majority of them said, I would rather hear a pleasant lie. And then I would ask them, why would you rather hear a pleasant lie? And the most common answer was, well, because it's pleasant. And I said, well, what if it's a pleasant lie, but it hurts you in the end? Yeah, but it's pleasant. I get to enjoy not knowing. And then I find out at the end. They said, what about you? I said, I would rather hear the hard, bitter, painful truth. And they thought that was just, why would you want that? It's because it's the truth. And when you hear the truth, then you can operate from that place. And then you can make a plan. And then you can pray rightly. And then you can respond accordingly if you know what the truth is. But if it's a lie, and they're like, but it's pleasant. But it's a lie. It's a lie. Would you be willing to go to God and say, God, help me to live with wisdom. Help me to live in a way that's wise. Even if it increases sorrow, Lord, give me wisdom so that I can live rightly before you. I can follow you more closely and walk in a way that brings honor and glory and praise to your name. Lastly, we have to invest with intent. We have to invest with intent. Look with me back in verse 16. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Some translations say, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's the literal meaning of that word. Redeem the time because the days are evil. It's the same word that's used in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom, there it is again, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Redeeming the time. When you redeem something, you buy it back. You purchase it from someone else. Jesus on the cross redeemed us from sin. He paid the price, his own blood, his life, and he bought our freedom. He bought us out of the slave market of sin. We were all, if before you come to Christ, we are slaves to sin. Jesus pays the price for our salvation, and we are released from the slave market of sin. We're released from the bondage of sin, and now we become slaves to Christ, and we become followers of him. It's the same word that's used. We redeem the time. Jesus redeemed us from sin. We redeem the time. How do we redeem the time? Well, we pay for it. Well, how do we pay for it? By the way we live our life. We buy it back. That's the whole idea of redeem. To buy something back from someone else's control. If you redeem the time, you are buying that time back from someone else's control to be placed in the use for God. That's what you're doing when you buy your time back. So when we evaluate with care and we live with skill, by doing that, by practicing that walk of Christ, that walk with Christ, that walk in Christ, a day-to-day, daily life that we've evaluated carefully and we've precisely evaluated it so that we can live with skill, when we are doing that, we are buying that time back. We are taking it from that place where it's wasted, and we are using it to build the kingdom of God and further his purposes. We can redeem because we've been redeemed. We can buy back because we've been bought back. And now we're in a place where we are to make the best use of our time. Notice, we're to make the best use of our time because the days are evil. I don't think anybody would debate that. Have you watched the news lately? Have you read any news reports lately? The days are evil. We live in an evil world. We live in a time where evil is spreading and it's spreading and it's spreading. And we have to live with skill, and we have to redeem that time and buy it back. Because not only is time short, the days that we live in are evil. Jesus talked about the end times. Jesus talked about those end days. This is in Matthew 24. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. It's going to grow worse and worse and worse. There may be times where we have an incredible outpouring of God's work, and we may see revival yet happen in America. I believe that it's going to take some pretty hard knocks for the church, really and truly, before the church wakes up to the recognition that how much we need God, because we'll talk more about this in a couple of weeks. But I believe that as a general rule in America today, I believe that we have built a culture of consumers and not an army. And I believe because of that, a lot of people within the church don't understand that around the world, especially in America, but all around the world, how members of the Church of Christ are suffering and bleeding and dying and are in prison and they're being martyred for their faith. And we don't have any concept of that. And I'm not wishing it on us. That's not what I'm saying. But I do believe that it's going to take something to rouse us from our sleep. The days are evil. Time is short. We have to invest with intent. We have to be intentional with the way that we spend our time. We have to redeem that time. We have to make the best use of the time. Notice what Paul writes. He doesn't say, make the best use of time. He says, making the best use of the time. When that word the is in front of it, sometimes we have false alarms on our fire alarm, especially when it's humid outside. And we have vapor that accumulates inside the ducts and will set off some of the sensors because they are pretty sensitive. So we have members of our security team going out to shut that bad boy off right now. All right? Right now. See, that was just on cue. All right? And we are thankful for them. That was like a record response. I'm just going to let you know. That was a record response in shutting down the alarm. That is awesome. And they're going to check. Don't worry if you're worried, like, what if there really is a fire? They're going to check, and they're going to make sure if there is a fire, they'll come back in here and tell us, don't worry, we're all good. All right, anyway, where was I? Yes, indeed. The time. There is a fixed period of time. That's what that word the means. It doesn't just mean time as an umbrella term. It means the time. What is the time? The time is a very specific period of time. The time is your life. Your life is the time. Your life is the opportunity. We redeem the time. We make the most of our life here. We make the most of our physical life here. Why? Because life is short. And the days are evil. And we have to evaluate with care. And we have to be so careful in the way that we walk. And we have to live with skill. And we have to invest with intent. And we do all of these things because time is short and the days are evil. Amy Carmichael, she was an Irish missionary to India years and years ago. She said this, "We will have eternity to celebrate the victories, but only a few hours before sunset to win them." We will have all eternity to celebrate the victory, but there's only a few hours left before our lives are over and the time has passed in order to win those victories. How are you spending your time? Are you investing it wisely? Or are you like Amy Carmichael saying, or are you looking forward to celebrating those wins, celebrating those victories? Are you winning those victories now? Are you before sunset comes? Before that next trip around the sun? Because there's going to come a day, and I'm not trying to be negative, but there's going to come a day that we'll be done with our trips around the sun. For each one of us. There's going to come a day, Jesus is going to come back and set everything right, but there's going to come a day that our trip around the sun is going to stop. There's going to come a day when our lives will be over, and we don't know. We make plans, and we plan far out in the future, but we don't know how soon that time may come. It could come for any one of us at any point in time. I was talking to a friend last night on the phone. We were talking for a while, and he lives up in Tennessee, and we were talking about preaching and teaching the Bible. And I told him, I said, you know, one thing that hit me a few months ago, the day is going to come that I'm going to preach my last sermon. There will be a day when I preach a sermon, and that will be the last sermon I preach, because I won't make it to the next Sunday. There will be a day. And he got real quiet. He said, man, that's pretty heavy. How do you navigate that? I said, well, every Sunday I preach, I just think this may be the last time anybody hears me preach. So I just need to make sure that I say what I need to say and what I believe God is leading me to say during that time. He said, man, that must be heavy on you. I said, well, let me give you one. There's going to be a day that you hear your last sermon, because you won't be back the next Sunday. They're all over this nation. There are people who go to church on Sunday and they've heard their last sermon. They're hearing their last sermon today and they don't know it. Today's the last sermon they will ever hear and they don't know it yet. That's how brief life is. That's how serious following Christ is. That it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It could be your last sermon. It could be. It could be your last Sunday. We don't know. Now, I hope and pray that we have many, many more Sundays together, all of us. But we don't know. Life is short. Life is so short. It's so precious. And whenever we recognize just how short life is, and when we value it greatly, then we will spend it wisely. And we will evaluate it. We will examine our lives and examine it so that we're walking in wisdom in a precise way. And then we'll take the time, our lives, and we will invest it as wisely as we possibly can. Would you do that? Just in these last moments as we wrap up, can we just pray? Can we just pray for a moment? Just everybody, just nobody looking around. We're just going to bow our heads here. And I just want you to ask God, just between you and God. I'm not going to ask for anybody to raise their hands or come forward or anything like that. I'm saying between you and God, would you ask God to give you a heart of wisdom? Would you ask him to give you wisdom so that you can live with skill? Would you just ask him to do that? Would you ask him if there's any area that you're wasting the time, that is your life? I don't mean times of downtime, time relaxed from the family. That's not what I'm talking about as waste. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying things where you're just wasting your life on things that aren't working to build God's kingdom. Would you just ask him to point some of those things out to you? Would you ask him to point it out in the days to come if you are wasting your time, the time, your life? Would you ask him to help you look carefully at your life? Would you ask him to help you evaluate your life in a careful manner so that you can precisely understand how you're spending your time? Would you do that? And without anybody looking around, some of you may be here today, and you may have never made a decision to follow Christ. You don't know how many Sundays you don't have left. And you may be sitting here, or you may be listening or watching online, and you may be thinking, I'll do this later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. There will come a time when there is no later. There'll come a time when it is too late. There'll come a time when that sun will have set and you've made your final trip around. And you may be in the fourth quarter of your life. You may be in overtime. And you're saying, I'm just going to do it later. I'm going to do it later. I'm going to do it later. Don't wait. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't wait to make a decision to follow Christ. He redeemed you. Just as we redeem time, he redeemed us. He paid for our release from the slave market of sin by his death on the cross. And if we receive him by faith, he will save us and he will give us an eternity with himself. All eternity. We can't get our mind around that. We will spend all eternity with him in perfect, unbroken fellowship. And if you haven't done that, I'd invite you to do that today. Come see one of us up front during our invitation time. If you say, well, I'm kind of embarrassed to do that, catch me afterwards. You want to come by the office and talk this week? We'll go have lunch. We'll have coffee. We'll talk. But don't wait another day. Don't wait another day before you take a step toward Christ. Whatever that looks like, whatever it is you need to do to take that step toward obedience. If you know him already, step out in obedience toward him. If you don't know him, take a step toward him and follow him today. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the way that you show us how brief our lives are. We don't know what tomorrow brings. Tomorrow's not even promised. But you promise that if tomorrow comes for us, you'll be there with us. You're waiting. You're waiting for our response to you. May we be a people who follow you, Father, who don't waste life. Father, I think back to a story I read about a woman who interviewed all of those patients who were on their deathbeds. And ask them about regrets. And by far, the number one regret is that they didn't live a full life. That they were worried about what other people thought. They were worried about what other people would say. They were worried about the impressions they made or the reputations they upheld instead of living a life that was true to themselves. And so, Father, I pray for us to be true to ourselves is to be true to who you are, who you created us to be, and that is your kids. So, Father, I pray that we would live in the light of that truth and we would live in a way that brings the most glory, honor, and praise to your name so that when the world looks at us, they would say, God must have kids. you must be one of them. May we not waste any more time, God. And Father, if there's anybody who's listening or here today watching who's never made a decision to follow you, Father, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day that they would take a step of obedience toward you. And I pray that they wouldn't waste any more time. They would recognize the brevity of life, the seriousness of eternity, and they would invest in an intentional act of the will as they step forward before you. Father, we give our time to you now. We give our lives to you. We give the time to you because the time is our lives. And so, Father, we place that in your hands. May we live in a way that is carefully evaluated, and may we live in a way that shows great wisdom from you, and may we live in a way where we show that we value time, and so we spend it, we invest it, we redeem it wisely. And we'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. You respond in this time.